The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Feel like a good Christmas story? I have a few of them. Probably saw me walk out back to get a few of them. I Googled inspirational Christmas stories and collected a bunch of them. George worked for the post office, and his job was to process all the mail that had been illegibly addressed. One day, just before Christmas, a letter landed on his desk, simply addressed in shaky handwriting, "To God." With no other clue on the envelope, George opened the letter and read, "Dear God, I am a 93-year-old widow living on a pension. Yesterday, someone stole my purse. It had $100 in it, which is all the money I had in the world, and no pension due until after Christmas. Next week is Christmas, and I invited two of my friends over for Christmas lunch. Without that money, I have nothing to buy food with. I have no family to turn to. You are my only hope. God, can you please help me?" George was really touched, and being kind-hearted, he put a copy of the letter up on the bulletin board at the main post office where he worked. The letter touched other mail carriers, and they all dug into their pockets and all chipped in what they could. Between them, they raised $95. Using an officially marked post office envelope, they sent the cash on to the lady. And for the rest of the day, all the workers felt a warm glow, thinking of the nice thing they had done. Christmas came and went. A few days later, another letter, simply addressed "To God," landed in George's department. So many of the post deliverers gathered around while George opened the letter. It read, "Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your generosity, I was able to provide a lovely luncheon for my friends. We had a very nice day, and I told my friends of your wonderful gift. In fact, we haven't got over it. And even Father John, our parish priest, is beside himself with joy. Oh, by the way, there was $5 missing. I think it must have been those thieves at the post office. There's a lot of lessons in that one, isn't there? A brother like that. A friend of mine named Paul received a new car from his brother as a pre-Christmas gift. On Christmas Eve, when Paul came out of his office, a poor boy was walking around the shiny new car. "Is this your car, mister?" he asked. Paul nodded. "My brother gave it to me for Christmas." And the boy looked astounded. "You mean your brother gave it to you and it didn't cost you anything? Gosh, I wish..." He hesitated, and Paul knew what he was going to wish. He was going to wish that he had a brother like that. But what he said jarred Paul. "I wish," the boy went on, "that I could be a brother like that." Paul looked at the boy in astonishment and then impulsively added, "Would you like a ride in my new car?" "Oh, yes, I'd love that." After a short ride, the poor boy, with his eyes aglow, said, "Mister, would you mind driving in front of my house?" Paul smiled. He knew what the lad wanted, he thought. He wanted to show his neighbors the nice car and show off his big automobile. But Paul was wrong again. "Will you stop right where those steps are?" the boy asked. And he ran up the steps. And then in a little while, Paul heard him coming back, but he was coming slowly. He was carrying his little polio-crippled brother. And he sat down on the bottom step and sort of squeezed right up to his brother and pointed to the car. "There she is, buddy, just like I told you upstairs. His brother gave it to him for Christmas, and it didn't cost him a cent. And someday I'm going to give you one just like it. Then you can see for yourself all the pretty things in the Christmas windows that I've been telling you about." Paul got out, lifted the little lad into the front seat of his car, and the shiny-eyed older brother climbed in beside him. And the three of them began a memorable Christmas ride. That evening, Paul learned what Jesus meant when he said, "It's better to give than to receive." Just two more, and then a point. Paul Harvey tells this parable. "There was once a very good man. He was a good father, a good spouse, a good provider for the family, honest. But he just didn't believe all this Christmas stuff, that God could become human. And so he said to his wife, "You know, honey, this year I can't go to Christmas Eve Mass with you and the kids. I just feel like a hypocrite. You go, and I'll stay home." And so the family drives off without him to the church. He sits down by the fire, and outside the picture window, he sees it beginning to snow and a storm starting to develop. And so as he's reading, suddenly he hears thump, thud, thump. And he thinks kids are throwing snowballs against that picture window. So he goes to the window, and what does he see? Flock of birds seeking shelter from the storm tried to fly into his room where the warm fire burnt, and they hit the picture window. And so he said, "I must help those birds." And so he puts on his coat and his galoshes, and he knows there's a barn out back where they keep the horse, and he lights it up, opens the door, thinking the birds will surely fly in. But they don't. They're lost. They're disoriented. And so he thinks, "Oh, I can get some food." And so he goes into the kitchen and lays a trail of food from the birds to the barn. But they still don't go in. And so he goes out and he starts trying to shoo them into the barn. But they won't go. And then he realizes, "They're afraid of me. I must look like a huge, intimidating creature. And they're disoriented. How can I get them into the barn?" And he thinks, if only I could become a bird and show them the way. Just then, he hears the Christmas bells, Christmas Eve Mass, and he realizes what God has done for us, and he falls to his knees in adoration. Once upon a time, there was a man who worked very hard just to keep food on the table for his family. This particular year, a few days before Christmas, he disciplined his 5-year-old daughter after learning that she had used up the family's only roll of gold expensive wrapping paper. Money was tight, and he became even more upset Christmas Eve when he saw that the child had used a whole roll on one box, a shoe box that she had put under the Christmas tree. He was also concerned where she got the money to buy what was in that box. The next morning, the little girl, filled with excitement, brought the gift box to her father and said, "Daddy, this is for you." As he opened the box, the father was embarrassed by his earlier overreaction and now regretted having disciplined his daughter. But when he opened the shoe box, he found that it was empty. And again, his anger flared. "Don't you know, young lady," he said harshly, "when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside the package." The little girl looked up at him with sad tears rolling from her eyes and whispered, "Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it until it was full." The father was crushed. He fell on his knees and put his arms around his precious little girl, and he begged her to forgive him for his unnecessary anger. Only a short time later, an accident took the life of the child. And it is told that the father kept this little gold box by his bed all the years of his life. Whenever he was discouraged or faced difficult problems, he would open the box, take out an imaginary kiss, and remember the love of this beautiful child who had put it there. In a very real sense, each of us has been given an invisible gold box filled with unconditional love and kisses from our children, from our friends, family, and from God. There is no more precious possession anyone could hold. Christmas is a love story. And our God, who is pure love, wanted to give a gift. He gave us a gift, and many people think the box is empty. He created the whole universe, which in its order, its goodness, its immensity, its beauty, reflects him and his love. And the crown of his creation, humanity, given free choice so that we too could love, does not see the invisible love behind the material gift. We exploit creation and take it for granted. And so when we're lost like that man trying to save the birds, God becomes human to lead us back to God. But still, we think the box is empty, that our faith is empty, that the story of Christmas isn't really true. And so we reject the gift. God continues to give himself every single day in the Eucharist, present with us, the incarnation perpetuated, and still we can't see the love behind the gift. Christmas is a love story, but yet we're too focused on the material, looking for something in the box. But love, God's most precious invisible gifts in our family, in what he has done for us, is all around us. God is a lover, and he still waits for us to respond in love. This Christmas, renew that love in your heart. Allow God's miracles that have already been given to us to inspire us, to help us recognize that love, and then share that love with one another.